Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's November 7th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You know the voice of NPR host Ari Shapiro on the radio, but this weekend he's in the Valley with a whole different talent on display.
It's a cabaret-style show, so it's just me talking to the audience interspersed with music. And the music ranges from Taylor Swift to Paul Simon to Stephen Sondheim, songs that kind of further the stories I'm telling.
We'll hear more about it in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Bakersfield Democratic Assembly member Dr. Jasmeet Bains says she's feeling a little more confident in her bid for Congress. She hopes to unseat Republican Congressman David Valadao in next year's midterms. The Cook Political Report is out with a new forecast of House maps following the overwhelming passage of Proposition 50. The political analysis firm now lists House District 22 as a toss-up. It was previously rated as leaning Republican. The Bains campaign is capitalizing on the momentum and says they're challenging Valadao's record on health care. The former mayor of Stockton is now running to challenge Democratic Congressman Adam Gray for House District 13. The newly redrawn district will include parts of Merced and Stanislaus County. Kevin Lincoln, who's a Republican, was previously seeking to challenge Democrat Josh Harder in a separate district. But Lincoln is now in Gray's district following the approval of new House maps by voters on Tuesday. House District 13 is actually among the most competitive in the country, and under Prop 50, it was redrawn to include a portion of Stockton in an effort to give the Democratic candidate a slight advantage. Fresno leaders want to push the city's growth along its southeastern edge, but they're facing pushback from concerned citizens. KVPR's Carrie Klein reports from a press conference outside Fresno City Hall on Thursday.
The Southeast Development Area, known as SEDA, would involve annexing 9,000 acres of unincorporated land into the city of Fresno. It would include housing and industry. Many speakers referred to this plan as urban sprawl, including Dylan Savory of the Central Labor Council.
We're not going to continue dumb development. We're going to invest in smart growth.
Brett Thompson represents a group known as Southeast Property Owners. He argued the billions of dollars slated for SEDA would be better spent investing in land already owned by the city.
The city staff should be taking care of their current residents and their communities before planning to take on more responsibilities and more residents, potentially bankrupting the city of Fresno.
If the city moves forward with SEDA, these leaders said they're prepared to fight the development with lawsuits or a voter referendum to limit urban growth. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein.
Officials at the Fresno Yosemite International Airport say they are expecting growing flight delays. Earlier this week, the Federal Transportation Department announced it was reducing flights at some of the nation's biggest airports. That's because the government shutdown has kept air traffic controllers working without pay and under pressure. The shutdown is now the longest in U.S. history. Fresno airport officials say flight reductions in Denver, Los Angeles, and Dallas have led to delays there, and new flight reductions will only cause those delays to grow. The city of Shafter and the state's high-speed rail authority are at odds over how to build the rail through the city. The Fresno Bee reports Shafter leaders this week voted against a proposal by the rail authority that would build underpasses and overpasses through the city. City officials say they're worried that construction for the rail will hurt businesses and take too long. The high-speed rail project has taken years to get off the ground, but officials with the project released new plans in the summer that proposed a faster construction timeline. Interested in taking part in the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles? You can now sign up for the Olympics Volunteer Program. Libby Rainey with our news partner LAist has more.
If you sign up now, you'll be the first to receive alerts on opportunities to volunteer before and during the Olympic Games. Ahead of 2028, the program will focus on community volunteering, things like pulling a shift at a food bank or helping out with youth sports programs. During the Games, volunteers will help people get around and help with operations at venues and the Olympic Village.
That was Libby Rainey with LAist. For people who want to volunteer during the Games, applications for that will come out next year.
KVPR listeners are invited to Bakersfield's historic Nile Theater for our annual Kern County reception. Celebrate public media with your local public radio station. Join staff and fellow community members for drinks, appetizers, and an update from the station. Grab your spot today by RSVPing at kvpr.org/events.
And now to our main story. Longtime NPR listeners will recognize the iconic voice of Ari Shapiro. Ari hosted NPR's flagship evening show, All Things Considered, for 10 years and worked as a reporter prior to that. For more than two decades, he's been on the NPR airwaves, but this fall he officially traded the studio for the stage. Ari has actually been a stage performer for years, even while working at NPR. Now this weekend, he'll be in the Valley to perform his cabaret show, Thank You for Listening, at the Gallo Center in Modesto. For this conversation, Ari joined us from a cabin in Northern California, so in some cases you'll hear the connection briefly cut out. I first asked Ari to tell us what people should expect when attending his Sunday show in Modesto.
I think the first thing people should know is what not to expect, which is the news. This is not a show about the news. I will not be discussing current events. The names Trump, Mamdani, and anyone else will not come up in the show at all. This is an evening of songs and stories, and I hope it makes people laugh, and I hope it makes people think. It's a cabaret-style show, so it's just me talking to the audience interspersed with music. And the music ranges from Taylor Swift to Paul Simon to Stephen Sondheim, songs that kind of further the stories I'm telling. And some of those stories come from my memoir, The Best Strangers in the World. Some are stories that I have never told before. And I always really love having this experience with an audience because I feel like we go somewhere together over about 90 minutes and end in a different space than where we started.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like something people might need these days when the news is so intense. But speaking of cabaret, now that's not typically a style of theater that's all that common these days. So why is that a suitable format for your show?
I love it as a storytelling form because I feel like it can contain multitudes. Cabaret is such a kind of expansive genre where you can be really serious and you can also be really silly. I had the incredible experience of touring an original cabaret show for about 6 years with the actor Alan Cumming, who hosts The Traitors, among other things. He and I made a show together called Och and Oy that we did all over the US and Canada. We took it on a cruise ship to the Caribbean. And I learned so much from him. And he's a person who has always had a solo cabaret show that he has toured. This is different from the musical Cabaret by Candor and Ebb that he was famous for starring in on Broadway. But he's written a new solo show every few years or so for, wow, more than a decade. And at some point I thought, I would kind of like to give that a try. And so I collaborated with my music director, Henry Kapersky, who's going to be joining me in Modesto Sunday night. And we made this show called Thank You for Listening.
I actually want to explore this sort of intersection of journalism and theater, because to a degree, I think people might be surprised to know there is a little bit of performing for radio, right? Listeners don't want to just hear someone who's not engaging or sounds like they're reading off a piece of paper. So I'm curious if your theater interests, which I know predate your time at NPR, if those sort of helped inform your career as a journalist.
This may sound like an obvious thing to say, but radio uses the human voice. And we're not just reciting words off a page. We're really telling a story when we speak on the radio. And when I'm performing on stage, I'm also telling a story and I'm also using my voice. And I think as a radio journalist, I'm always trying to be authentically myself, but it's never supposed to be about me. Whereas a cabaret show is very much about me. So there are obviously big differences, but there's a lot of similarity. There's a lot of overlap in that both involve trying to connect with an audience. Both involve trying to help people understand the world and each other in a slightly different way. And I have found that there is more overlap than people might imagine.
You know, for the folks who might not know, for 10 years, you were a key voice on NPR's flagship show, All Things Considered, including while I was a local All Things Considered host. And in September, you decided to step away. Could you just let people know what prompted that decision?
Yeah, it was kind of informed by the fact that I'd been doing it for 10 years, and a decade felt like the right amount of time for me to spend hosting All Things Considered. I have been at NPR my entire adult life, almost 25 years. I had never done any one job there for more than 5 years, but when I started hosting All Things Considered, I thought, this feels like the kind of thing I could do for a decade. And as we got closer to that 10-year mark, I thought, yeah, this is the right amount of time. I wanted to leave while I was still engaged, while I still loved it, before I started to sound checked out or short-tempered. And so I still listen. I still give to my local station. I'm still a huge public radio supporter and fan. But I was just curious to see what other adventures might lie in store.
I often remember you saying, thank you for listening, when hosting All Things Considered. And it was always said so thoughtfully. And that's obviously the title of your cabaret show. So I was wondering if there's some significance there or why you chose that title for your show.
Absolutely. There are a few through lines to the show, but one is the many different meanings of that phrase, thank you for listening. I've always thought it's a sentence that has many different uses, sort of like bless your heart or aloha. And thank you for listening takes on many different functions in my life and also over the course of the show.
You've been a reporter, you've written a New York Times bestseller, won countless awards for journalism. I mean, you've accomplished so much. So I'm just curious, what's exciting you these days? What are you looking forward to?
It is so nice to be able to really talk to people and find out about things that are happening that I might not have had the bandwidth for when I was hosting All Things Considered. Because as much as I loved anchoring that show, it is a consuming job, 2 hours on the air, about such a wide variety of things. And I loved learning about those things, but now I'm able to meet people for coffee or lunch or have phone calls and ask about what's happening in their worlds professionally, personally. And so just having that moment to kind of pick my head up and look around has been really delightful. And it's fun to explore what might come next.
And what is next for you? Are you more shows or something else?
Well, in the short term, I'm really enjoying performing this show. Thank you for listening. It's been so fun taking it to different parts of the country and experience different audiences. December, I'm going to be doing some more performances with the band Pink Martini from my hometown of Portland, Oregon. I have been a guest singer with them for about 15 years. And then we'll see what the new year has in store.
That was Ari Shapiro. Ari hosted NPR's All Things Considered for 10 years, a role he stepped down from in September. Ari will perform his cabaret show, Thank You for Listening, in Modesto on Sunday. He'll continue on tour throughout California for the next month with stops in Monterey, Napa, San Francisco, and more. You can find tour dates on his website. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.